All those wonderful apps that rely on global positioning just don't happen. They depend on a fleet of satellites, and that fleet is old, with lots of satellites on the verge of winking out. Joining me with the status of fleet renewal, Kevin Brancato, Director of Government Contracts at Bloomberg Government. Kevin, good to have you back.
Pleasure to be on.
It looks like this is an Air Force responsible program to keep the GPS going worldwide. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. The U.S. government has made a commitment to basically providing this GPS signal worldwide, but for two reasons. One, for civilian personnel, for anyone, civilian, to be able to use it, even to play Pokemon Go, but for the military to be able to provide precision targeting for its munitions. And it's the responsibility of the Air Force to keep roughly about 24 satellites up in the air at any time to be able to assure that positioning. And it simply isn't an easy job. These are very difficult systems, and it requires a lot of money to keep this going.
And what you're reporting is that the bulk of the satellites up there are near the end or beyond the end of their intended service lives, and the replacement program is getting way off schedule.
Yeah, this is a problem that gets worse and worse, because the satellites that are being built, they expect to have much longer lives than they used to, roughly 12 to 15 years for each, rather than the 7.5 than when it started. There's basically a need to have no failure, and there's a very minimal overlap that is essential between the legacy satellites and the follow-ons. And so GPS is a constellation that basically started in the mid-70s. The original satellites aren't there, but the second versions, the GPS-2, are still flying. Then there's GPS-2R and 2RM and 2F and multiple different versions that are up there operating together in this constellation. And in fact, the latest version, the first 10 of which, the Lockheed Martin-built GPS-3, they've delivered the first one and haven't yet launched it. And they're already trying to figure out the competition for the next 22 satellites. They have to be years in the making for these things. And the big problem is that they keep running across difficulties in one component or the next that are delaying launch.
Are these large satellites physically, or are they the size of, a lot of them are, you know, maybe the size of a minivan, some are the size of a bread box, and some are even bigger?
A GPS-3 is about 5,000 pounds in orbit, and it's about 11 feet high, 8 feet wide, and 5 feet deep. So it's about the size of a pickup truck. It's not really the size that matters. Actually, what's interesting is that we have the capability now for competing the launch of these satellites. Before, we had a monopoly in the launch on these satellites, and United Launch Alliance was basically winning every single launch to be able to provide them. But the first two GPS-3 satellites are going to be launched by SpaceX at a cost that's roughly half of what they had previously paid for launch. So it isn't the absolute largest rocket that is necessary. We do have competition there because the satellites are small enough that you can use a smaller rocket to launch it.
So if the first version of GPS-3 is built, what is the issue with launching it?
Well, right now, they're holding back. It's two issues simultaneously. For GPS, there is a general bus which is built out. Lockheed Martin, building these things, uses a standard configuration, and the rocket that would adjust its altitude while it's in orbit and readjust the orbit. There was some issue about whether or not that's functioning right, so they wanted to hold it back while a review is being done of this overall system configuration, which means that first one won't be launched until roughly spring 2018 or so, even though it's ready and waiting.
And once it launches and is released by the rocket, do you just flip it on and it's working?
If only. So the other issue is that the control system to be able to manage the GPS satellites, that's not actually built by the satellite manufacturer. That is built, the software to manage this is built by Raytheon. The OCX program is facing tremendous cost increases, it seems primarily to ensure information assurance and cybersecurity behind the management control. So there is a large concern with being able to get the full capabilities of these. You can get the basic capabilities, and each series, as they move from Block 2 to Block 2R and RM to F, as they've moved through, they increase the capabilities, and GPS-3 will all have even better capabilities, but not until the software is completely deployed, which probably won't happen until the early 2020s at this point.
We're speaking with Kevin Brancato, Director of Government Contracts Research at Bloomberg Government. And so if they don't launch until the early 2020s, and the other ones are just about to go out of their service life, what if they start burning out?
Well, they do have backups, right? So there are is a need for 24 of these satellites. They could probably do with a bit less, but there's a need for 24. Currently have 31 in orbit. So they use existing orbits as backups, as some would be able to burn out. It looks like they'll be able to get enough in orbit to be able to hold at the 24, and that doesn't look like it's going to be a tremendous problem. But the prior ones, the GPS-2F that were built by Boeing, they were supposed to make 33 of them, and they cut that back down to about a dozen. That made it absolutely critical to get GPS-3 up and running roughly now to be able to ensure that those launches will happen. And it looks like they're going to be able to do it, but they're really cutting it close this time.
Well, you said they cut it down to 13. That was a congressional budget decision?
I think it was a reorganization of it was a purchasing decision. What they have done, the initial idea is to be able to have stability in their purchases. When you have stability in your purchases, you don't have the competitive forces that are brought in. So right now, although Lockheed Martin is building the first 10 of GPS-3, there's going to be a competition held. The Air Force is going to say for the next 22 or so GPS-3 satellites, they want to be able to compete it between Lockheed, Boeing, and Northrop at this point, be able to see which company could potentially build these at a lower cost or with better capabilities or with fewer errors as they go along.
But they would all have the same software, I'm presuming, because they all have to be compatible with one another.
The operating system, and it has to be compatible with the standard operating system. So the details aren't available publicly to everyone, but they're available to contractors. In general, there are consistent controls and patterns and configurations that they have to be able to meet, but they can use different suppliers and different subsystems. They can be powered slightly differently. They can have different navigation software, for example, but as long as the interface with the overall master control system.
And you said the software for that operating system from Raytheon is the delay factor. But
It is a pretty big delay factor, but because the satellites themselves have been delayed for various purposes, it winds up being roughly on time. And there was the research that Sam Stein, our research associate, had done here, really showed that there is no single point here that is a critical failure. The operating system is in delay. The satellites themselves are in delay. The government is in indecision between competitive forces and being have stability. There are just lots of wheels in play.
But if Lockheed already has the contract to build the first dozen or 13 of them without the competition for the rest of them, can it just go ahead and build them and wait for the operating system so they'll be ready to go? I mean, it's just a matter of tin plate and rivets at this point, right?
Well, no. One would
I'm
hope.
Kidding, but I think it's a little bit more than that.
I think it's a matter of supplier and contractor supervision. A number of the problems that they had with the GPS-3 satellites they've already built appeared to be something that a more rigorous supplier control system could have mitigated ahead of time. And so bringing in competition at this point brings into the potential for lower cost and somebody else could be on schedule, but also maybe the potential for different designs. As we have seen and gone on and technology is advancing, a lot of satellites have gotten smaller and smaller, and it would be very interesting to see if there's the possibility of a different design altogether that could meet the requirements for GPS going ahead.
I guess with knowing some of China's intentions with respect to its capability, if not what it's going to do, maybe the smaller the physical satellite, the safer it is from being lasered or something.
Given the precision with which the U.S. can configure and launch something into space, I wouldn't think the difference in size, even if it were to go to half or one-third, would make all that much difference. I think it's a matter of ease of launching it. Also, the lower the cost of being able to launch one of these things, and the lower the risk of losing it should something happen during launch.
So if this program loses its way, then we lose our ways.
Definitely.
So to summarize all this, is the program in trouble or merely a little bit late? Or what's the real bottom line prospect here?
The bottom line is that it looks like the program is going to be fine, but it brings an opportunity for competition and brings an opportunity with this risk. With great risk comes great opportunity for the contracting community to actually mitigate those risks. And I think that's what's happening at this stage. The government has seized these risks, has identified them, and is calling in for help.
All right, so everybody's okay for now, but they better pick up the pace here.
Yes.
Kevin Brancato is Director of Government Contracts at Bloomberg Government. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much, Tom.
We'll post a link to more information and to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.